Blog Talk Radio.
You're on the coffee cup.
Tonight, we have Author Peter Mack coming in to give us the lowdown, y'all. Let me get on the lines. Wow, we got a lot of callers tonight. I know 213 is an area code for Cali. Let me try that. Area code 213, Cream City Classical. Who's on the line?
Hi, maybe I'm early. This is Peter Mack. I'm glad to be here. How you doing?
What? I got the right one. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How you doing? Lisa told me a little bit about you, but I don't want to say your name wrong. Can you tell it to me again?
Teresa Ray Butler.
There you go. I knew it was three names. I was going to say four names, but I'm glad you How you doing, Teresa?
I'm great. I'm awesome. Really happy
That's
to
good.
Be here. I got a little tongue-tied because I was like, okay, I got four different callers right away up on deck, and two of them were Cali area code, so I was like, okay, let me try this.
Let me try
to find out which one to get.
Yeah, I
got the right one.
So I had called in earlier, and I realized that you might not have knew my number. And I just messaged Leisha. Maybe she would have got it to you. But, yeah, you could.
Okay, cool. Did you want us to open the lines up right away since we have so many people waiting? Or do you want to get right into you? Because we only have, 28 minutes left.
Well, let's see what they got to say. Don't keep them waiting.
Oh, okay. Let's open up the lines then. Let's try... Uh-oh, there goes somebody. Well, here's one. Area code 404. 404. Cream City Classica. Who's on the line? 404.
How you doing?
Hi. Who are we speaking with?
This is Shakira Rashawn.
Oh, okay. Yes.
That's the guy.
Welcome to the show. Yes. Welcome to the show. I see you guys got some stuff going on here. So do you want to, collaborate a little bit with a few minutes to kick down some info for the listeners, who you two are, why you two work together?
I mean, that's literally on Peter as far as that's concerned. I'm just here in support most of anything else.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Teresa, this is the guy. He's a heavyweight in the BDSM literature genre. He's the author of The Awakening, which really opened my eyes to the real-life organization of the BDSM lifestyle. I believe it was in Atlanta, right, Shakir? It was based in Atlanta?
Yep.
Yeah. Tell them a little bit about that. Was that like a Greek? I remember, you know, the men were gods, women were goddesses. Am I correct? Or tell us about the Greek origins of the fraternity and the sororities of the submissives and dominants that you talked about in The Awakening. Because the reason why I say this is because this was my first idea that this was really real, you know, besides my dad and his lifestyle. But Shakira Shan's portrayal of the situation, well, not even the situation, but the BDSM lifestyle, a real-life community opened me up and motivated me to write my story and seek out, you know, more sexual inhibitions that, you know, that we're not aware of. But tell us a little bit about that, Shakira.
Well, I mean, I guess the way that I explain it, and it's funny that people mention Greek fraternities and sororities and things of that nature, but the whole idea that I came up with was really nothing more than a takeoff from some real-time groups and organizations that followed the same that really followed the same pattern, if you want to say.
Right.
There was a group back in the day called the Brotherhood of the Circle, which was real-time male dominance that literally congregated and got together on different occasions. Another offshoot of that group goes by the acronym of MDHL, which is Male Dominant Heterosexual Leather, and they were kind of an offshoot of that same organization where the majority of the men that were involved in that group are all male heterosexual dominants that adhere to a lot of the leather principles of BDSM. Those that are not really in the know may not realize that the leather lifestyle of BDSM actually began more along the lines of amongst gay leather men and motorcycle groups and things along those lines back in the 40s and 50s. The heterosexual part of the situation was probably along those same lines, but they were not as prevalent as our gay leather men and leather women.
Right.
So I kind of took a lot of what I'd already learned, what I'd already practiced as far as my being a part of the leather lifestyle as a heterosexual male, and incorporated it into my series, and kind of gave black folks an idea that, you know, it ain't just for white folks only.
Exactly.
It helped a lot of folks that were like, you know, every time they saw any kind of rendition, whether it was print media, visual media, movies and such, you know, they wanted to see somebody that at least they could resonate with, they can identify with. And I came up with the series itself.
Right. Wow. So that was my motivation, you know, because just, you know, and what he said about people not really recognizing or seeing themselves in these alternative lifestyles, that they may, you know, a lot of women I know, they like to be choked, they like to be spanked, and a lot of women I know like to, you know, spank the man and tell him what to do, get on his knees, but these things weren't reflected in literature in a way that we could read, in the way that we could appreciate them. So, So I got with Regina Bolton, a friend of my dad, Cato Cooks. And, you know, Regina's a real live dom living in and working in Los Angeles. And it's a rarity for a young black female to be a dom and to make men submit. So to allow men to submit to her. So we, you know, collaborate on this. She, you know, told me her story and, you know, I sent it to her and asked her, how was it? And she said, you know, she was, you know, kind of embarrassed that I was right on point, you know, with everything, with a character, with the rules of it, with the security hazards of it, just with the lifestyle in general of being a black female dom.
Wow. And it makes me want to take the next caller and see what they have to say. Is that okay, gentlemen?
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's get into it. Area code 248. Okay, we lost that call. All right, well, we only have about, let's see, 20 minutes left to the show. Did you want to stay on the line, Shakira, with us, or did you want to just go into the listening room?
No, I'm fine. However y'all decide y'all want to do it, I'm good.
Okay, so what I need to know then, you mentioned, Peter, Mr. Mack, that your father was into some things
Right.
What we try to do, well, we come on the show, we try to cover a little bit of ground on how did you become a writer, you know, your interest,
right.
and,
right.
you know, that sort of thing. So if you could just kind of squeeze that into a minute or two.
Well, I started writing because I just wanted to figure out who I was and how I got into the situation that I was in. I had gotten arrested, and I just wanted to figure out what it was. And from then on, you know, 20 books later, you know, you just want to explore who you are and get your self-worth up. And when I first started writing, it was my dad who just said, you know, hey, keep writing. And that's what I did. And so with this new book called Domina, which is based on Regina Bolton's lifestyle, it was just a way for me to address a particular lifestyle. And before I did it, you know, I just went out to people in the community and got the heads up on it instead of just freelancing and guessing at it and disrespecting what people really do in their lives.
Okay. Well, before we get into a little bit about Domina, can you
right.
just give us a little rundown on the prior books? Because you have quite a few books under your belt, if you could just relate the listeners to that.
The book that received the Pan American Center Book Prize was Filthy, written under my government name, which is Isiko Cooks. That one is my effort at, is based in the 1980s at the dawn of the crack era. Following that was Watermelon Summer, which takes us a year back. These are both based on my life. And then there's Licks, which is hailed as an urban classic. You know, the A Neighborly Affair trilogy, which was written in early 2000s. You know, it's been every book I try to offer a different theme, a different take. I didn't start writing urban fiction officially until Filthy, and that was based on a true story. Everything else before that was erotica, social romance, suburban romance, stuff like that.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll take a caller after a commercial, and when we take that caller, when we come back from the commercial, we want to talk a little bit about Domina, you know, just, you know, nice little intro or something slick to the reader's interest, because I'm sure people are interested already. The lines are blowing up, and I'm trying to keep up because I only got, like, what, 15 so minutes left? So, all right, let's go to a commercial. We're going to come back. You guys don't go nowhere, okay?
All right.
Not a problem.
All right. You guys, we have Peter Mack on the line. We have some interesting talking points tonight. Him and his partner that he works with. These guys, you know what? You think you know things about people, but you don't know anything. We talk about people that are in the dom sector of the world. There's so many things about that lifestyle, and you will be interested when you read books like Domina. Peter Mack, you guys, we'll be right back on Cream City Classic.
Domina Jax had only meant to make ends meet, only to discover the joy of role-playing as a dom. When her benefactor dies, she must expand her hustle, exposing her new dangers. Peter Mack, in his signature flow, weaves a tight tale of sex, violence, money, and murder through the hustle of two women and a witless man for whom submission is a privilege. Domina, Submission is a Privilege, by author Peter Mack, inspired by the real sessions of Regina Bolton, endorsed by Shakir Rashan, author of The Wakening. Learn more about this dynamic and versatile novelist, interviews, bio, books, social media, links, contact pics, etc. at www.petermackpresents.com. Coming April
29th. Wow. You on the line, Peter?
Yes, man. That was a pretty slick commercial. That's the first time I heard that. That was nice.
I mean, for $5, you get a little something. We like to keep all the people because, you know, not everybody comes to the show. A lot of people just frequent us for commercial purposes because, you know, you get it and you can do what you will, you know, do what you will with it or whatever. So you don't have to be on the show to be involved with that.
Oh, I like that.
Well, let's see what the listeners think. Thank you so much, you two, for coming to the show. Shakir, Peter, area code 678-678, Cream City Classical. Who's on the line? Okay, maybe they're just listening. All right.
Yeah.
Now, before we went to commercial, we were talking about the lifestyle. So
right.
when we talk about the lifestyle, we got to talk about the reason why we're here today. We're talking about Domina, the lifestyle
right.
of Regina Bolt in pen and paper. What is going on? Can we get a little
more? you know, her lifestyle, you know, it's a struggle and it's a reward. When she left New Orleans, she was really just trying to make ends meet. And just like you said in the summary, she decided that she liked the idea of role playing. But eventually, she will be writing her own story, her own autobiography. So when we got together, we thought it was a good opportunity to introduce her to the readers, and so that when she finally puts her story to paper, that she'll have an available audience. Domina will be available for download April 29th, and it will have her email address and contact information in her introduction to the book. So it is a good look, and you know, I'm just glad to be able to put something out that's authentic and that also showcases you know, my flow.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Ladies, I'm sure the women are wondering what the book tour look like. Are you guys like? Will you, sir, be out signing in full gear? Like, will you have a little outfit or something?
I would love to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm locked up. But, you know, if Shakira wanted to take a couple women with him with some leather on and whips and show up.
Oh, my
you know?
God. Yeah. Does that sound like a nice little plan to, you know, do that gimmick thing? It's a little gimmicky, but sometimes gimmicks work well.
Right.
Well, I can understand that. I mean, I've done book signings inside of dungeons before, so I understand where you're coming from in terms of gimmicky and trying to get
right.
something to kind of get people out and that type of thing. So, you know, there's nothing says out of the box like, you know, being able to sign books while people are throwing whips through the air and all that other stuff.
Yeah,
so,
but that's hot, though. But that's hot because you got people there that's going to really get involved and take that back to their, you know, to their spouses. And, you know, that's a public service.
Absolutely.
All right, Peter, let me ask you this. Since
yeah.
you get a lot of your inspiration for the characters from actual people, real-life
right.
people who know about the life.
Right.
Did you get a little bit on you? Like, did anything seep inside your soul? Like, you know, I think I might want to be involved in
well,
number six because I don't know if it's like
yeah.
a McDonald's menu meal.
Why not? Well, okay. She represents one of three characters. And, you know, the way I write, there are interwoven narratives. So these are three characters who live on the same street. There's a guy who lives across the street who's in love with her. And there's a girl who lives down the street who's basically making men submit by making them trick. So we have three different characters who are going about their relationships in three different ways. And their lives intermingle. Because of not only knowing each other, but what they're involved in, and you know, the twist is what Domina is in need of from Corey, who lives across the street, and so you know, you have to, it's not just her going out making, you know, slapping men around, but you have three individuals whose lives intersect around Domina, and so there are three different forms of submission going on in this novel, and not just from Domina Jacks. And yeah,
okay.
And you're right. I did include some of my own personal stuff in there as far as the relationship that Corey has with his parents. They are kind of based on my grandfather and my grandmother on my mother's side. My grandfather on my mother's side, he started smoking crack. My grandmother was a Jehovah's Witness. So I put those two characters in there because you can't even fake the real. And those are two dramatic characters that, you know, early reviewers couldn't stop laughing at their relationship and their antics. So, you know, I try to keep it funny. I try to keep it violent, sexual, and thought-provoking at the same time.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just can't help but laugh because I tried my hand on two similar type of characters without the Dom aspect, but just the foolishness between the two in a book called Tax Season. And that's why I started to laugh, because I started to think about two characters that are arguing all the time and the money's
yeah.
always funny. And you know what I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah.
You got to put that in there. But, you know, laughter is the key to, you know, that comes before sex, right?
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't expect, like, that key in something like demeanor. So this makes it even more interesting. Like, wait a minute, there's laughs in between being slapped around and, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, well, not, I know, right? Well, you know, that's why I had to put those other characters in to keep it kind of light and to
okay.
and to expose some other things.
We sure appreciate that. What is the number one thing that you want your readers to probably get a hold of when they enter this world?
To be curious. Don't be afraid. I think it allows people permission to examine their own, you know, what they might be curious about. You know, if you ask 100 women, 60 might say they like to be choked, but they wouldn't consider themselves submissive, or they wouldn't consider themselves a part of the BDSM lifestyle. They just like to be choked. So it does give people, yeah, it gives you an option.
Okay, guys, I have to ask you this because I personally don't have anything in me for this particular lifestyle that I
right.
can think of that would really qualify me. You know what I'm saying? Like the real qualification paperwork. I don't have the paperwork. I just don't have it.
Okay,
I might have a reference that might be light, like, well, you know, she got hit on the bottom one time, something like that, but nothing serious where I get the paperwork. Let me ask you this, guys. Do you think that because of its complications that people and families try to keep things like this quiet where really it's more of a large scale? Because you hear about it more and more that people get more open with sexuality these days and times. They get more open with, you know, homosexuality. People are just coming out the bag with, look, this is how I am and this is how I roll. You know, as before,
yeah.
It was like, shh, don't say nothing.
Right. Well, you know, people need agreement. People need to know that they're going to be agreed with before they make their announcement. But now you got a lot of agreement, so people are a little bit more bold, and that's with our writing. You know, you got to put it out there for people to see it and read it, and it gets a nice response, and that gives people courage and confidence to say, hey, I like that too. You know, I'm glad someone spoke up. Right, Shakir?
No doubt. I mean, The thing that comes up when it comes to a lot of your fiction, you get to a point where there's still a degree of reality that has to be brought into the mix.
Right.
I mean, everybody loves a slap and tickle. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all gravy
right.
as far as that is. But I mean,
right.
you already mentioned it. There are people who unfortunately have to live double lives. You know, not everybody can be out and proud because you know you find out. I mean, you can be working for a corporation who frowns upon any kind of outside, any kind of sexual activity that they deem inappropriate. You know, if you're just
mm-hmm.
having sex with your wife, that's one thing. If you're having sex with your wife in public, that's a whole different thing that they may not, you know, they may not take too
right.
kindly to. So they find out all of a sudden that you're into that four-letter activity, and next thing you know, you get called into HR, and it's like, damn.
Right. And they might be into it themselves, except in private.
Exactly.
Right.
So when they find out that you decide you want to be out and proud about it, it looks bad on the brand. So now all of a sudden they got to figure out how to weed you out. So
right.
unfortunately, it puts you in a predicament where you might want to be, you're fine with what you're doing because, frankly speaking, who gives a fuck? But at the same
right.
time, you got to mind your paper.
Right. But, you know,
well,
I think it's a good thing.
You can go ahead. How do you guys scout for, like, if you're into that lifestyle, how do you scout for partners? That seems like so, because it's so, I don't know, help me.
Speaking, the internet has made it a hell of a lot easier than when I first came up in the 90s. I'll tell you that now. You find yourself, you know, you talk to your old heads that are, you know, that are over 45 and, you know, were coming up during the AIDS epidemic in the 80s, where you really had to screen a hell of a lot more than what you do now because, you know, there was just so much going on back then as far as that was. So they didn't have the internet. They had to rely on back pages and, well, what we call back pages now in the 21st century with the back page ads and all that other good stuff. But you had to literally go and find your garden variety magazine at a sex shop somewhere and be able to try to find your way in that way. And then,
well, yeah, and then there were, yeah.
And then even after you found the magazine that found the specific ad that had the keywords to, that you could kind of find out where to need to go, you still kind of had to go on a real regular basis before those that have already been inside and already been accepted, so to speak, are looking at you like you're not the cops.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that. Yeah, it's filled with cold words. Back in the days, it's filled with cold words. But like you said, now with the internet, you've got you know, tons and tons of groups on social media that you can join. And, you know, you have plenty of conversations to determine who's authentic and who's not and arrange meet and greets. And it's probably a little bit more open now from what I understand.
It's a lot more. It's a lot more open.
Right, right, right.
Well, Peter, we're almost out of time. We want you and also Shakir. This is the point where we give shout-outs. We give the information about the book. Of course, you already did that in the price of the book. If you want to gloss over that one more time, but definitely shout-outs before we go.
Oh, well, you know, people who made this thing possible, who motivated me to write it, my dad, Cardo Cooks, Regina Bolton, whose real life sessions is based on, Shakir Rashan for giving me, you know, some insight on the lifestyle and writing that book, The Awakening, which got me curious. And to all the BDSM lifestyle goers who are out there who are not BDSM lifestyle goers who are curious, look out for Domina. Submission is a privilege. It'll be out April 29th. And in the meantime, you can copy any one of my award-winning books at www.petermacpresents.com. Holla.
Yeah. Shakir, you got any shout-outs before we get on up out of here?
I, honestly speaking, like I said, I was just really here to support capacity. I didn't expect to do any of this as far as that was, but
that's
you know,
good,
I'm
though.
Like, honestly speaking, you know, I appreciate him for letting me crash for a hot second, and, you know, just kind of helping him to promote his book as far as what's coming out later on this month. So I mean, that's definitely all I was doing.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I always say, you know, I never do. Ain't nothing we do by ourselves. It's always we. It's always us that's doing it, and I don't mind. It's a privilege for me to be able to for Shakir to join us and for me to ask for his assistance and for other people to get behind this book. That's the privilege. So, you know, I'm humbled at it, and, you know, it's a team effort. That's how I feel about it.
Oh, that's so awesome. That is so awesome. And you have a place to shine when you come out with your next one because we know you're not done.
Well, let me tell y'all, Coke Like the 80s is out right now. Coke Like the 80s with me and Joy Deja King. You can pre-order that right now. That's for $9.99, Nook and Kindle. So that's some other fresh literature that I put down that you can go get.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Peter, thank you. Shakir, thank you. For opening our eyes and letting us into this crazy lifestyle. And everybody that's listening, make sure you go pick up Nina. All right. Thank you for coming to the show.
All right.
We'll see you next time on Cream City Classica. I'm Teresa Ray Butler. It's been a pleasure. Bye-bye. Yes, Peter Mack and Shakir was on the line to help us understand the world, the dominatrix world, Domina.
Domina Jax had only meant to make ends meet, only to discover the joy of role-playing as a dom. When her benefactor dies, she must expand her hustle, exposing her new dangers. Peter Mack, in his signature flow, weaves a tight tale of sex, violence, money, and murder through the hustle of two women and a witless man for whom submission is a privilege. Domina, Submission is a Privilege, by author Peter Mack, inspired by the real sessions of Regina Bolton, endorsed by Shakir Rashan, author of The Awakening. Learn more about this dynamic and versatile novelist, interviews, bio, books, social media, links, contact pics, etc. at www.petermacpresents.com. Coming April 29th.